his promises are always true.
Don't you keep telling that.
Now, the third thing that God told Joshua was to take courage. That's the third thing for us too. Know that God is alive, know that God is with us, and we need to take courage, just as he told Moses to do, or excuse me, Joshua to do. In verse 6 of our text, God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Now Joshua was a smart man. He knew he was willing, he was willing to serve God, and he knew that he was still in big shoes, and he knew that he was inadequate for the task. And brothers and sisters, it's okay, it's wise to feel inadequate, because only then will we learn to lean on God. You know, if we think we've got everything we can have, then we won't have that tendency to rely on God for help. But when we feel that we need His help, that we're inadequate, that's when we really learn to lean on Him. And I want you to understand that I don't want to share any kind of a leadership or eldership that feels that they are adequately able to shepherd the flock. Ladies and sisters, we pray all the time. We do a lot of praying for you, for ourselves, and for the Lord's leading, especially when we're in the body. And I also don't want someone to teach me, or I don't want to teach someone who thinks myself, or he or she knows enough that they don't have to study. They don't have to get into God's Word. Brothers and sisters, we have to. We have to study and study and study some more. Because Satan is so cruel at getting God's Word, his way of thinking, not my way of thinking. But he makes ways of making us stumble all the time. And we don't even teach things that are false. And so that's why it's important that we get into the Word. And I don't want to listen to a preacher who is not afraid and feels that he's adequate every time he steps into the pulpit. And let me assure you, I will never feel like I'm adequate when I stand up here. I will never feel adequate before I get here. And go sleep and I have to do some praying that God will help me. In fact, I do that almost every time. And I don't want a counselor who thinks he has all the answers to life situations. Because I know they don't. The only one who has is God. And that's who we need to rely on. Yes, a counselor can help. He can guide us. But only if that counselor spends time with God. Now, let's look at some of the Bible words. Does anyone think that Daniel was afraid to be cast into the lion's den? I'm sure he was, to some extent. But nonetheless, he was going to do God's will, and as a result of doing God's will, he was thrown in. But fear did not deter him from his commitment to pray and to call on God for help. Even though, probably, he knew God was going to be there, it didn't keep him from spending time in prayer. And I'm sure that David was coming in slowly walk towards Goliath. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that he was necessarily afraid, because he was kind of upset with those who were around him. But I know he had to trust in God a lot to have the courage to face the giant. Okay? Goliath. And so he did. And God provided what he needed. And I believe the possibility that Peter, you know, he was the man who got to preach the first gospel sermon in the New Testament. I'm sure he was a little bit afraid. Or sure that God had said to him the first gospel sermon. Even though he knew the Holy Spirit was giving him strength and guidance to speak. And I'm sure that Paul was crying, Holy Lord, as he walked up Mars Hill. And the command that Peter was given to Joshua. God tells him, take courage. And he says the same thing to us. Take courage. I'll be there with you. Brothers and sisters, we need more men and women in the church today who will take courage from the power and the presence of God and in His Word in their lives. Amen. Okay, the first thing that God told Joshua was
determine, make your determination to follow God's word. Now, he didn't say it right in those words, but basically, that's what he said. Now, look at verses 7 and 8 with me again. Let's put up Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8 again. He says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law. Speaking of the Ten Commandments and the Old Covenant law. All the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you so you may have success in wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make the way really prosperous, and then you'll have success. Notice he had to meditate upon the law if he was going to have success. If he's going to be prosperous, he had to meditate upon the law. Okay? And so my encouragement to you this morning, and my prayer for you today, and for myself, is that we do not let this book, the Bible, the Word of God, get too far away from us. But we do, as God encouraged Joshua to do, that we do meditate upon it, that we do read it, that we do study it, that we try to understand it, the stories. Why? Because it will bring us success. That's what he tells you here. You'll have success if you meditate upon the law. And I'm saying the same thing to you, and he does say the same thing to us. We will have success if we meditate upon the Word of God. We can think about strategies, knowing that we know what God expects in each and every situation. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't measure success by the world's standards, but by our faithfulness to His Word. And Solomon says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. And so, if you want to be successful, if you want to be prosperous, successful or prosperous, stay in the Word. I'm going to say that several times. If you want to be successful, stay in the Word. Okay? Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. In his law, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatsoever he does, he prospers. What a tremendous promise. Next, do we want to be saved? Do you want to know how to be saved? You want to be saved? What's it say? Stay in the Word. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 9, says, the word is near you, it's in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. But if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he says, you shall be saved. I don't think any of us wants to spend eternity with Satan. Okay? In fact, I know none of us do. So if we want to be saved, we have to stay in the Word. Okay? Do you want to know how to have perpetual, continual forgiveness of your sin? Forgiveness of sin? Let's just say it again. Stay in the Word. Okay? We all know that we sin. We all know that we have struggles because Satan is going to sleep there with nothing else. He knows our weaknesses. But if we want to be forgiven, we need to get into the Word and stay with it and trust God. And 1 John 1, 7 says, if we walk in the light and see ourselves as in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, Satan will do everything he can to convince you that this is wrong, but this is what God's Word says.
And he's asked us to meditate upon it. Okay? Next, do we want to have genuine peace and contentment? So what do we have to do? Stay in the Word. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 25 says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Okay, you want to know how to live the good life? Stay in the Word. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Now, so everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, may be compared to the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, but it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. In other words, it had been founded on the Word of God. That's how the foundation is going to remain strong. And how's your foundation going to be strong if you don't know what the Word of God says? Okay? Want to be set free and eternally sanctified? Again, stay in the Word. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth." Here it says you shall know the truth is going to make you free, and down here it says the word is the truth. So that's what's going to give us eternal salvation if we stay in the Word, and we understand the Word, and we meditate upon it day and night, just as Joshua was instructed to do. Brothers and sisters, my encouragement for all of us is to stay in the Word. Our success, our salvation, our forgiveness, our contentment, our happiness, our freedom and sanctification depend upon us staying in the Word. Okay, finally this morning, the last thing God told Joshua to do was to enter into action. Okay, I've told you what I'm going to do. Now you need to do something. Okay? And if we can go back and look at our text, we would notice in verse 9 of our text that God is not talking to Joshua. And then in verse 10, Joshua springs into action. And he called his commanders and said, "Look ready, we're crossing the Jordan in 3 days. And so he knew that God had taught him all the things. He knew God was going to be with him. And he knew God wanted to get ready. And so he took what he had to do, action, to get going and doing what God wanted him to do. Joshua's reaction reminds me of the Macedonian call to Paul. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, Paul sees a vision one night of a man in Macedonia saying to him, "Come, bring the gospel." Now, you know what the next verse says, verse 10? The very next verse, 16, verse 10, verse 10 says, "And immediately we got ready and sailed to Macedonia." See, Paul got the call, "Come." And he didn't wait for a month, he didn't wait for a week. It says, "Immediately we got ready and sailed to Macedonia." If he would have been called a priest yet, he didn't waste any time getting there to fulfill and do what God wanted him to do. Brothers and sisters, when we know we need to get moving, when we know that we need to take some action, we also need to get moving immediately. We don't want to wait around. Now why is that? Because the longer you put it off, the more time that we allow Satan to work, he's going to convince us that obedience to God is unnecessary. I only have an example of that of Adam and Eve. Didn't do what God expected of them, but he had time and he spent it convincing them that God was wrong. And they fell. And so this morning, if you have sinned, and you know you need to change things and make it right, or you know that you need to get baptized in Christ if you haven't been, don't put it. Don't give Satan time to convince you that's not something you need to do. Don't give Satan time to convince you that you need to make things right. Don't give Satan time to convince you that you don't need to get moving for the Lord. When the light comes on and you say, I know right from wrong, and I know what I must do to be saved, then it's that time. That's the time to act. Procrastination is of the devil. It's one of his most effective tools, and it robs many today of their eternal salvation. Just procrastinating, waiting, thinking there's some more convenient time to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. And as Christians, we know we should be serving God by teaching a class, by becoming an elder, a deacon, or a leader of some kind in the church, or by writing in some particular ministry, especially when you're equipped for it. When you say no, or we say no, we are acting against God's will. Do you realize that? You know, many years ago, I made the statement that there's no way that I wanted to ever get in front of a group and speak and share. In fact, when I was going through school, college as well, I made every effort to avoid it. But God told me, there isn't going to work, young man. And when I started going to church on a regular basis, I also made that same statement. And again, God told me, there isn't going to work, young man. And I got a call out of the blue from people who didn't even know me, other than they knew my name, and they asked me to come and share the gospel with them. I didn't even know it. Let alone share it with them. But it was then I realized God's saying something to me. Get moving. Get moving. Yes, we are acting against God's will. We neglect or ignore to do what he's asking us to do. Maybe we don't feel we have the talent. Maybe we don't feel we have, or we're not adequate enough to do it. Trust in God. His power will be with you. His power will help you. And just do whatever he wants us to do. It's the right thing to do. This idea also ties, and we know that we are to forgive that a person who has offended us. And we're not doing it for some reason. I always have to think of it in the light of God forgiving me. How many times has he forgiven us? How many times has he forgiven me? So that's the thing we have to think about in everything we do. God is patient. He's loving. He wants us all to be a part of his kingdom. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 4, verse 17, to him that knows to be right and does it not, to him it is sin. But there is a sin when we don't do what's the right thing to do, especially when God is pushing us in that direction. And so the question comes, what important challenges are we facing this morning? What important challenges will we be facing in this new year? Do we need to become a child of God by faith, repentance, and baptism? Do we need to change our attitudes about our work, or the workplace, or fellow employees, or employers, or schoolmates, teachers? Do we need to trust God to keep his promises when things look or feel hopeless? Do we need to become active, more active than we are in the Lord's work? Do we need to confess some sin in our life? That's holding us back and really being what God wants us to be. Do we need to forgive our brother or sister? Do we need to talk to a friend or family member about Jesus? My sister, not too long ago, left this world. And yes, I did share. My wife and I both shared. She was here, she heard me preach. Encouraged her to become a different life there with God. But you know, even now, I think, could have done more. And my encouragement to you brothers and sisters is don't wait for those kind of feelings. Do what you have to do and do it now. Don't wait for some more convenient time. Don't wait for tomorrow. That time may not come. Now, in conclusion, do you want to wear the badge of guilt that comes when you or others are lost by your actions? Do you want to wear that badge of guilt? Someday, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How do we want the record to read? How do we want it to read? Remember what God's word says to us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And again, my encouragement is, get right with the Lord. Live for him throughout this coming year. And my wish for all of you, my wish for myself too, throughout this new year, is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. That's my wish. And I hope it's your wish. And may he awaken us whatever speaking to him through Jesus Christ. Amen. And Sarah, I'm with enthusiasm. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has work for each of us to do in this new year. I can't do what he wants you to do, and you can't do what he wants me to do. But I know he has something for each of us, everyone in this room, to do. Things, people, circumstances, and situations happen to us for a reason, for a purpose. In our life, and we need to recognize that, our life is not one big accident. Our life is not a blank page without purpose and direction. And God is pleading. He's pleading with us to say yes to his work and his expectations of us. Are we willing to accept his plea? Are we willing to accept the challenges that stand before us in this coming year? And become something more. This is the thing I really want you to remember a year from now. The Lord provides me the opportunity to show that I'm going to ask this question next year. About this time, maybe later in the month, maybe sometime, I don't know. But the question is, are you ready to become something more than you are at this time next year when we meet before the Lord, when we come together? Otherwise, you're going to be more than you are today. Are you going to be willing, or have been willing all year long to serve him? Have you thought about him and try to bring someone to Christ? Those are the kinds of things that God expects of us. That's what he wants us to do. And he wants to be our God, and he wants us to be his people. Amen. I'd like to ask the praise team to come up. The song that I actually don't know is found in verse 249. It was given, Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey. It's not often used for the Ten Commandments, but that's one you can use for the day as well. Trust and Obey. When you're out with the